Top This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfeld.
Howdy.
And Joe Lorre, Jr.
Hello.
And this is your host, Roger Bubbs. And now, here is your master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed Wheeze Whirlpool. Our 3 weeks do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air.
Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
Let's get on with the laughs. Are you ready, fellas?
Ready.
I shouldn't wonder.
Well, I shouldn't either, Senator. And our first joke this evening, incidentally, comes from A.C. Kidder. Kidder, is he fooling on this program? A.C. Kidder of Central Square, New York, and it's on the subject of punishment. Punishment.
Which they're going to get plenty.
Well, we hope not, Harry, and Peter has a chance to start it off, and I hope there's very little in his rendition.
Well, there's a fellow walking down the street here one day last winter, and he saw an old man shoveling the snow off his walk, but he was using a pancake turner. So the fellow went over, he says, excuse me, sir, he says, this is none of my business, but why do you shovel your walk with a pancake turner instead of getting a shovel? So the old man says, stranger, he says, whenever I want to punish myself for some misdeeds, I just do things the hard way. I like to do things the hard way. You see this house? I built that all by myself single-handed. I chopped every stick of wood in that house. And to make it even harder, I used a butter knife, too. I like to do everything the hard way. I got 3 acres of lawn around the house. And every summer, I cut it myself the hard way.
Well, says, you mean you use shears instead of a lawnmower?
Shears? I use tweezers. I like to do everything the hard way.
The fellow says, wait a minute. Now, do you do everything in the world the hard way?
He says, do I? You should see me dressing and undressing.
Guy says, you dress and undress the hard way?
He says, sure do. Standing up in a hammock.
$1,000 on the lap here.
Giving Mr. Kidder $25 automatically, and to start the evening, making it pretty rough on our three wits. However, they can at least tie Mr. Kidder's $1,000, possibly. And the upraising of hands shows two of a possible three, and the first one we'll call on, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, and let's listen to Harry.
I read a story the other day that'll fit under punishment. Finnegan was dying, and the minister came over to him, saw he was dying, and he says, Finnegan, I gotta be honest with you. You've caused a lot of trouble in your time, but you have a good heart. And now that you're dying, will you accept heaven and renounce and denounce the devil?
He says, I would like to accept heaven gladly. But at this particular time, I'm in no position to antagonize anybody.
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
Needless to say, ties Mr. Kidder's $1,000, but doesn't top it. And let's move over one notch to Harry's right and pick up little Joe Lorre, Jr.
Well, little Montgomery was very bad, so his father gave him a smack and says, go in the bedroom and stay there. That's your punishment. Stay there in the bedroom alone. So about an hour passes, so finally the mother comes out and she says, Papa, she says, I think Jake has been punished enough. Should I take him to the zoo? He says, if they want him, let him call for him.
$1,000 on the lap meter.
That maintains the unbroken record, Joe. Another giving us thus far a perfect round and moving one more notch to Joe's right. We pick up the eminent Senator Ford right now.
Want to see the record broken? I know a couple that fit under that subject. I had time enough to think it, too. I probably picked the wrong one, though. Anyway, I'll pick out one that's been good for about 200 years, and I don't see why it shouldn't be good now. It's about a teacher who was called out of her classroom, and while she was out, little Tommy wrote on the blackboard, I can kiss any better than anybody in the class. So when she came back, she said, who wrote that on the blackboard? And little Tommy said, I did. She said, you stay after school. So the next day, a little girl said to him, she said, you see, Tommy, it doesn't pay to misbehave. He said, yeah, but it pays to advertise.
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Giving us a perfect round. What was the other one you thought of?
Well, it was about a young fellow who was arrested for speeding, and he was told that the judge was one of those, genial sort of old codgers that would respond to the right approach, sort of a, hail fellow, well-met type. So when his case was called, the young squirt rushed up to the bench, stuck out his paw, and said, "Hello, judgy, old pal, old thing, how are you?" The judge said, "Fine, $20.
The laugh meter registered 800 for that one, Ward.
Here's a joke which was sent in by Mrs. Anita Moffat of Los Angeles, California, and it's on the subject of, if you'll pardon the expression, salary. So, Pete, I hope you get a good cut out of this one.
No, this is a story about a friend of mine, Mr. Abercrombie Fafufnik, and he does very well in business, but his ambition was to be an actor, always wanted to be on the stage. So during the summer vacation, he's staying at a place in the Catskills, and he hears of a little theater group up there. It's a little group called Ruben Rappaport and his Rootin' Tootin' Repertory. So Fafufni goes over there to see Mr. Rappaport. He walks in and says, "Hello, hello, hello." He says, "You'll pardon me to pieces, Mr. Rappaport," he says, "but all my life I wanted to act. All my life I wanted to make with a snap acting and, with the emotion like all those fellas out in Hollywood, what's the name, Basil Rathbein and all those fellas, Clark Bagle, all those fellas. I want to be an actor," he says. "In other words, I'm looking for a job. I would like to be, you should also excuse the expression, a ham." So the fellow says, "Well," he said, "I'll tell you." He said, "I'm putting on a play. Just happens I need somebody to play a small part. It's an Indian chief." He says, "What, an Indian chief?" "Sure, all right, I'll make like an Indian chief." Fellow says, "That's fine. You get the part. It pays $15. He says, wait a minute. Hold on to the horses. What is this? What kind of a crummy proposition is that? $15 for a chief? For a full-blooded chief? Maybe got to support a squaw with a little papoosie and everything? $15? He says, "Listen, to me, scalping is skilled labor. Make it $60. He says, "Wait a minute, I'll make you $30. Fellow says, "I wouldn't give you $30. I can't afford it. $15 is for the part. And if you don't take it, you obviously don't want to be as much an actor as you say." He said, "All right, wait a minute. All right, I'll take it. I'll cut the punch. I will play for you for the Indian chief for $15. Thank you very much." Started for the door, and he turned back. He says, "But I warn you, for $15, he's only going to be a half-breed."
Well, Pete, instead of a half-breed, that was a thoroughbred that time.
1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
For the second time, this kid is really warm tonight.
That gag is almost as good as the ones that Pete edited in Coronet. He's a comedy editor of Coronet.
Oh, yeah, I saw that this month. Yeah.
Oh, new deal, huh?
Yeah. Making fun with Coronet now.
Never mind the plug.
No, I saw it. Well, I picked one up in a streetcar. I looked over his shoulder.
I've heard for years that in Pocket Magazines, your best bet is Coronet. I didn't know Donald was with it.
Oh, but, he's quite an editor.
Yeah, but the Coronet on this program is... How do you do that? Let's see. It didn't work it out well.
There's a gag.
There's a gag there somewhere. The corn on this program, Coronet... Well, let it go. Forget it.
Tell the Coronet later.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We have another automatic $25 from Mrs. Moffat. You guys are really up against a stone wall tonight, but stay in there pitching anyway. And, Senator, was that your hand up or were you coughing?
Well, both.
All right.
I I don't like to waste any effort. Yeah, I know a gag. I know a number of them, as a matter of fact, on the salary, wages, fees, something like that. Two fellas were standing at one of those long mahogany counters, with one foot slightly elevated. And one said to the other, "How much do you earn a week?" Guy said, $50. "My wife gets 50. He says, "That's 100. He says, "No, it's the same 50. I earn it and she gets it."
900 is the final score in the laugh meter, Ward.
Well, make it $60, then it might have gone up to 1,000.
Raise the salary. Well, let's skip over now to Joe Lurie Jr.
I've got a short one. This doesn't count. This is the one the fellow says to a guy. He says, "I hear you got a raise in salary." He says, "Yeah, I got a good raise." He says, "You keep any of your salary from your wife?" He says, "No." He says, "Why don't you?" He says, "There's a law against it." He says, "What law?" He says, "Mother-in-law." But the one I want to tell is that they're paying off the workers in this place, and the fella gets his money, and he goes over to the boss. He says, "Hey, boss, here's the $5 I took from you during the week, you know, when I was short. Here's the $5. He says, "Oh, thanks." He says, "Wait a minute. There's a peculiar odor about this money." He says, "Yeah, my salary stinks."
I almost had a commentary on that one, Joe. But,
up. 1,000 on the laugh meter award.
The original one was 800. So that does tie up Mrs. Moffat's 1,000. However, her 25 is safely entrenched. So let's wander over to the territory occupied by Harry Hirschfield and see what he has to offer.
Well, I want to toss one in first, a little light one. First, I heard a kind of a goofy story the other day of a prize fighter was walking down the street, and a guy held him up and took $5 from him. And when his manager heard about it, says, "I hear you were held up, and the guy took $5 from you. Did you put up any battle?" He says, "I don't fight for those small purses anymore." Oh. I was a fellow in a... There's a fellow in a concern, an employee, and he's trying to get a raise. Every scheme and every hint he can think of to the boss, and he can't get a raise. And finally, he tries the big ace. He takes a photograph of his little baby, and he sends it to the boss, and there's a little note. "This is the reason I've got to have more money." And for a reply, the boss sent him a photograph of a voluptuous blonde in a bathing suit and said, "This is the reason I can't give it to you."
Half meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
I know another shorty that would go in there.
What's here?
A boss said to a fellow who was asking for a raise, he said, "Give me two reasons why you should have a raise." The fellow says, "Twins."
I know a shorty, too.
Everybody's in with short.
It's all right. We're rather short.
Short on that meter, too.
Son says, "How much do you get a week?" He says, $13 a week. He says, "Why do you work so cheap?" He says, "I don't want my wife to have a rich husband."
Says, "Give me three reasons why you should get a raise." Says, "Triplets." That's
nobody. You better move over to Mr. Dione and make it safe. Harry, you in with a quickie?
Yeah. I want a raise or else.
He said, "Else what?" He said, "Else I'll work for what I'm getting."
We'll be right back with our next round of jokes after these few commercial words.
Well, let's try it all over again, and here we go. The next joke comes from Mrs. F. Schultz of Middleburg, New York, and the subject of this round is something you fellas should be very familiar with, pals. Pals.
Like us.
Yes, like the three or four or five or something of us. So, Pete, make with the palsy-welty.
Well, it's about two little kids, two little boys, and they're usually very good pals, but like all kids, well, they get into a fight with each other, and they're thinking of all the nasty things they could say to each other, and he says, "Ah, you're a dope. You're so dumb you think Ebbetsfield is Hirschfield's brother." He says, "Oh, yeah, if I had an ugly face like yours, I'd put it on a wall and throw bricks at it." He says, "Yeah, if I had a face like yours, I'd put it on a brick and throw the wall at it." This is going on. This whole thing goes on for about half an hour. Finally, one of them gets really mean. He says, "Yeah, look at the way you dress. You go around dirty with raggedy clothes." He says, "Look at your pants, always raggedy and dirty." He says, "Your old man's a tailor. Why don't he make you some pants?" He says, "Oh, yeah, what are you talking about? Your father's a dentist, and look at your new baby sister. She ain't got no teeth."
Well, you put the teeth in that one, all right, Pete, for the third time this evening.
1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
So, Mrs. Schultz is home with $25, or will be shortly. Our three wits once again have that futile feeling. However, they're going to stay in there pitching, and the first one we call upon right now is Harry Hirschfield.
Well, I think this is a fellow who became a pal. This is, I think, a new story, a goof story. A governor went to visit the nut house, and the warden was taking him around. And he showed a fellow was sitting on the floor, and he says to the governor, "Get away from me. Don't touch me. I'm on top of the Washington Monument. You're trying to push me off." And there was another guy walking with a high hat, shorts, and spats. So the governor said to him, "What's the idea of the high hat?" He said, "Well, nobody's coming here, so what's the difference?" So he says, "How about the spats?" He says, "In case somebody does come." Then he says, "Saw another guy with matches, breaking the matches." And he said, "What are you breaking those matches for?" He said, "I like to cut down these big redwood trees. Ho!" Oh. Finally, the warden said, "We got a guy here, a new nut. He's fishing in the bathtub there." He said, "That I like to see." So
So he walks over there, and there's a fellow sitting on the edge of the bathtub, and he's fishing. The governor looks at him, and he says, "How many fish did you catch today?" He says, "You must be nuts. How can you catch fish in a bathtub?"
Well, you had plenty of bite on your line that time, Harry.
1,000 on the laugh meter.
Tying Mrs. Schultz is 1,000, and that's all, believe me. And Senator Ford, I think, had his hand up second.
Well, a preacher was walking down the street, and he came across a couple of the kids in his parish who were fighting like the dickens. And one of them was doing better than the other. So the preacher said to him, he said, "Tommy, Satan must have prompted you to kick Willie and bite his ear." Tommy said, "You're wrong about that, Dominie. Satan might have prompted me to kick him, but biting his ear was my own idea."
Just halfway up on the laugh meter, Ward. 500 this time.
I should have told the other one I was thinking of.
Well, mull it over in your mind. We'll drop back to hear it after we...
I'm not good at mulling.
No? Well, let's see how good Joe Laurie is.
Well, Flanagan and Doyle were great friends, and they'd making a trip all through the bar rooms and all. Finally, they hit the Waldorf Astoria bar, and they walk in there. And they see a man drinking a Manhattan cocktail. And they looked at it, and Flanagan takes a dollar, puts it down the bar, and he says, "Give us a couple of those." He says, "Mixed drinks are 75 cents a piece, sir." He says, "What?" He says, "Mixed drinks are 75 cents a piece." And he turns to Doyle, he says, "How did he know we were mixed?" It's a little deep if you want to wait.
Well, Joe, I would, but this is only a half-hour program.
Only 200 registered on the laugh meter that time, Ward.
Now, another one.
Another one?
Just as bad.
Well, you can't lose. Go ahead.
Well, this fellow says, "Are you a friend of Casey's?" He says, "I sure are. We've been pals for 20 years. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Casey. There's nothing Casey wouldn't do for me. And for the past 20 years, that's just what we've been doing. I've been doing nothing for him, and he's been doing nothing for me."
You had just twisted those two around, Joe. You would have been home.
It's in fun.
Last one really got there. Senator, did you dream up that other one of yours yet?
No, I didn't have to dream it up. I know the gag. I think that you four will get a kick out of this one. The audience not being in the business of tracing back gags, but I know that I think you'll laugh at it anyhow. These three kids were pals, and they pooled their resources, which amounted to 10 cents, and decided they were going to buy apples. So they went into the grocery store. and asked for 10 cents worth of apples. So the grocer gave them 4 2-for-5 apples. And one kid said, "How are we going to divide these 4 apples equally among the 3 kids here?" So the grocer took the apples back and gave him a can of applesauce. Then another answer is they shot one of the kids.
That latter part better.
How do you divide 3 horses among 5 fellas? Horseradish.
Oh, listen.
I know what's...
There must be a halt somewhere, and I'm going to call it right here.
Oh, it's a short one.
All right, Harry, go ahead.
Big fella that was crying, the husband was crying. He says, "My wife ran away with my best pal, and gee, how I missed him."
Don't go away. We'll have another round of jokes in a few moments.
Sent in by Phil Carpenter of San Pedro, California, and it's on the subject of something you gentlemen look as though you have a speaking acquaintance with, Taylor. So, Pete, don't look around. It's perfectly all right. East is east and vest is vest, and the way you tell it suits us.
Well, this... This happened in an employment agency, and a little Italian fellow ran in there. He said, "Hello, salud." He said, "I'm so pleased you're to meet me." The fellow said, "Well, yes, sir. What can we do for you? You seem excited." He says, "Well, please, my name is Giuseppe Lasagna. I'm around the high-class tailor shop uptown. But my number one alterations tailor, Angelo, is drink too much vino. He's drink too much vino. He's make alterations. He's put the sleeves in the vest. He's put the lapels on the pants. He's no good at all. I've got to get rid of him. You got to make me a nice tailor, an alteration specialist." Fella said, "All right, sir. We have quite a file. We'll see what we can do." He said, "What sort of specialist do you want?"
He said, what short? I'm a one. I don't know. I'm not, you know. Just ask him if he's going to make a shorts. He says, shorts? Do you run a haberdashery, too? He says, no. I'm a non-geron haberdashery. I'm a run a high-class tailor shop. I got to get a fella that's going to make a shorts. Fella says, but I thought you made suits. He says, that's right. They sure they make suits. That's why he's got to be able to make shorts of the sleeves, make shorts of the pants.
Well, we'll make short of that one, too, Pete.
And that was only 350 on the Laugh Meet Award.
Throw all the papers away. I don't think you need them after that. First time tonight our three wits have had a chance to really go, and Harry Hirschfield is first.
I think the ladies especially will appreciate this one. There was a mother very much upset because she knew her son was running around with a woman, girl, and he knew he was going to marry her, but she didn't know whether he was going to marry in the faith, in the tradition. She wanted him to marry in the faith and tradition. She had a right to. And it worried her. And the more he asked her, and he wouldn't tell what her name was. And she worried and worried. And she was frightened he wouldn't marry in the faith. One day she had to send his suit to the tailor to be pressed. So she was taking the stuff out of the suit. And she came across a lipstick, said, Helena Rubinstein. He said, ah, fine. Marrying the right girl.
Wedded to the right joke, too, Harry.
1,000 on the laugh meter.
Topping Mr. Carpenter's 350, he has his original $10, and Senator Ford, I think you were second.
Well, with the American Legion in town, I could tell one of the, I think, would appeal to the boys who were over in France. Dopey Dildock had a new suit made, and he walks out of the tailor shop, and he runs into Hockey Pop. So Dopey says, how do you like the suit? Hockey says, it reminds me of two towns in France. Too long and too loose.
Well, it wasn't so too long.
Ward, the laugh meter registers 600 for that joke.
Too however loose, but not too long.
Plenty enough to top Mr. Carpenter's 350, and we seem to have a blank here on the score sheet for Joe Lurie Jr.
Well, this big manufacturer was telling in front of his oil. He says, I'm ruined. He said, what happened? He says, well, we got a big order from Smith & Company. They wired us. He says, please send style number 305. 100 dozen, number 305, omit buttons. Omit buttons. So he says, so what? Didn't you do it? He says, Montgomery, the little tailor, you know. That's the head man, the head tailor. He balled up the whole order. He sent it with the buttons. He says, how could he do it? It says on the telegram, omit buttons. Yeah, he says, but Montgomery read it, omit buttons.
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Well, Tempest has fidgeted once again, fellas, so all I can do right now is to ask the audience to join. Can You Top This? Originated by Senator Ford next week at the same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Applesauce Ford.
Helena Rubinstein Hirschfield. Oh, Mitt Lorre.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long, and take care of yourself until we meet again next time.